in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Spirit, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, and verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A very solemn word, really, but may we be encouraged by it, because as we read in John's portion, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so when we pray the Holy Spirit to continually strengthen our souls and enable us to keep looking to Christ, trusting in Christ, come to Christ, praying to Christ, and believing in the Lord in all the whole matters of our life, whatever the dimension and whatever the matter be, yet to continually believe in the Lord and trust therein, trust in Him, to Him. It's very natural for us men, having a light of conscience that know how sinful we are, to say, well now, the straight way and the narrow ways, we've got to keep the law, we've got to be good and holy. Well, that's our duty. Make no mistake about that. It's my duty and your duty to be holy and do good and keep the law of God. But God requires a 100% fulfillment of the law, a complete obedience in all the imaginations of our mind, all our thoughts and purposes, our actions, our conversations. So we cannot be saved by our law keeping, though we would love the law of God. My dear friends, the sweet secret is this. We read it in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And there's the narrow way, that straight gate, that narrow way, my friends. Yes, that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Now that's God's secret. That's God's secret. It's His work that calls sinners by grace. Well, these are solemn words, and yet they're much encouragement, my friends. Because the Lord is so faithful, having sealed all these promises with His precious blood. Just think of it. The shedding of that holy blood. All the promises in Him are yea and amen to beggars, needy sinners. Good people don't need to keep the law. They don't need saving, good people. But we do, because we're sinners by nature. A mercy to know it, isn't it? Well, He said, now notice in Luke, as we read the portion in Luke, strive to enter at the straight gate. Strive to. And as we look at this word, enter, and Jesus is the way. Looking unto Jesus, it does have a sense in it also that it's a fight, a warfare. Not an easy matter. But friends, it's the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. And how can we do that? A bleeding Christ is all they plead. Nor the guilty sinners need. Yes, my friends. Oh, the beauty of Jesus. That gift of gifts. So you see, the way to enter into life eternal, my friends, indeed, is to, yes, walk in through the gate that is straight and the way that is narrow. Yes, and it's looking unto Jesus. Now, the real sense here in this verse 14 is everything's vain apart from Christ. We can't, as it were, get to heaven without leaning heavily and hard upon Jesus. And that will bring us to the Spirit helping us, of course. There is to think of what the Lord has done and what He's promised, what His Word says. So you see, the way is confined, narrowed down right to the Word of God. The pure, precious Word of God. And especially, the Word incarnate. The Word made flesh and dwelling among us. He's your way, He's your help, He's your complete salvation, and my way, and my help, and my complete salvation, my friends. There's no salvation outside of Him. Oh, the beauty of Jesus. He's your way, your life, your lawgiver, your saviour, your solid friend, your husband, yes, your prince, chief prince, yea, King of kings and Lord of lords, my dear friends, your salvation. And He's married to His people. And therefore, those that walk in this way are safe. So safe. I recently asked a question, somebody went concerned to know about Solomon. They had heard different things. Some said that he was an ungodly man. Others said that he was a godly man. And so a friend wrote and asked me about these things. What was my thought? Well, my thought is this immediately. Well, we read in the scriptures in two or three places the Lord loved him. And He made promise that He would not take His Spirit from him as He did King Saul. I know he backslid solemnly. He brought idols into the temple. Terrible thing to do. And my friends, he was chastened with the sons of men. God chastened him for it. And yet He would not take His love from him. But He did Saul. It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? So with all your worries and concerns, plead the fullness of Christ. Oh, my friends, it's His finished work that's so vital. Well, enter into the straight gate and strive to enter in, fighting the good fight of faith. There's a warfare. Striving really is, as it were, fighting your way through, isn't it? Oh, we better fight devils and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to fight against blasphemies against us and people being hateful to us and sneering at us, people doing us evil. To look to Christ, Lord help me, Lord be with me, bring me through. He will. He's faithful because He is the way, the truth and the life. To enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Well, friends, who are those people, friends? Well, they're people that believe anything but the truth. And practice anything but the truth. Think of the shades of Christianity there are. Well, the religions in the world, my friends. What a favour. If you've been given a precious faith in Jesus. What a favour. You couldn't be more favoured, friend. So you see, this broad way is man's opinions. Man's religion. Man's idea, people's thoughts, yes, intellectual philosophers and also ordinary men of the street like you and I. Yes, my friends, and how we have a love to the world. And we need great things to be done to us and for us. Well, Jesus has done great things. He's your way, your truth, your life, believer. Because straight is the gate, and there is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So we'll leave our thoughts, we'll close our thoughts concerning the broad way. I say, diverse opinions, all sorts of religions, all sorts of philosophies, all sorts of ideas, and many, many works, and we should do good works. You cannot condemn people for doing good works. Even unbelievers do good works. They may feel pleased with themselves, but child of God, you cannot feel pleased with yourself. Be pleased if God enables you to help others and do good works for other people. Give him the glory. He's given you substance, strength and skill and understanding to help others and deliver others. It's his goodness to us. God has the glory. So let's look in verse 14 then in particular, because that's the main part of the subject. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. First, consider the person of the Lord Jesus. God the Son. Jesus is God. Wonderful. He's the Son of God. The Son of the Father. Our Father in heaven is God Almighty, but Jesus is Almighty God the Son. In deity, he's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. Three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. These three are one. We believe, my friends, in one God, one deity. But we do see in the Scripture something very beautiful. Three persons, co-equal and co-eternal, in that deity. Not three divines or three deities, but it's important. One deity, one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Distinct persons, but co-equal and co-eternal in the glorious Godhead. And my friends, that's a fundamental truth which we can build upon. Now, the Father loved us from all eternity. Therefore, having foreknowledge and the mystery of Satan would do, so he come to send his dear Son to rescue. And that promise was made known when men fell. It's been fulfilled. The seed of the woman has bruised the serpent's head. Now, why the seed of the woman, the seed of the virgin? Why is that? Because, my friends, Jesus was conceived by a miraculous overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. Not by natural regeneration of man to woman, by God. Yes, working powerfully, wonderfully. Holy Ghost, my friends. Yes, she conceived from God himself by the work of God in her womb. And there was that conception and the child grew. And as we remember, at the end of the year each year, traditionally, which is quite a nice thing to do, really, if we do it properly, he was born a helpless, defenceless little babe. Needed a mother's nourishment, mother's warmth, mother's care, mother's cleaning, mother's, well, the care of a loving mother. Wonderful truth, isn't it? You see, dear friends, and he knew no sin. He couldn't be stained with it. The Son of God. God with us. Yes, my friends, a deity with the people of God in the lovely person of Jesus. For a heavenly Father couldn't dwell with us without a mediator and a Saviour. Because, my friends, while he's love, he can't have an iniquitous people that love sin in his presence. So Jesus came to save us by magnifying the law. He never sinned. He ever did good in his thoughts, in his imaginations, in his purpose, in his words, in his works. He never sinned. Never made a mistake. He magnified the law, made it honourable. Isn't it wonderful? Because, friends, you see, he's the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sikenu. So you're saved without the works of the law. You doing the works of the law. You're saved by the grace of God, whose beloved Son, in our nature without sin, magnified the law and kept that law and honored that law and delighted to do the will of God. You read in the psalm. Now I come, in the volume of the book is written to me, I come to do thy will, O God. You see, his delights with the sons of men, we read. Therefore he delighted to live for you as a little babe under the care of mother and the guardian Joseph, who was like as a father to him, though not his father, and grew up in carpentry to his time to showing of Israel. And then he showed himself and did many mighty miracles and good works. He always forgave those who asked for forgiveness, always healed those who asked for healing. All the needy, the poor, that begged for help and begged for mercy, they weren't refused, never refused. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And if you're a coming sinner, my friends, it's your heavenly Father's drawing to his beloved Son. All think on these things. You need God. You're so poor. You're so helpless. You're so guilty in this, that, and something else. Friends, yes, our manner of speech and our imaginations and our attitude to people sometimes. We sin, my friends. It's nature. But may righteous laws in our heart to give us the fear of God, to fight the fight of faith and to magnify him in our conversation, in our works, in our lives. He giveth more grace. But he's at your actual righteousness. So God, who requires righteousness at the hand of men, has provided in the hand of his dear Son, the God-man, the glorious Lord Jesus. And my friends, yes, how he loved the people. And though he laid down his life, he magnified the Lord. I know I've said this here before. First in obedience, and secondly in bearing the curse. And being resurrected now and ascended to heaven, my friends, we are justified who trust and believe and repent. And it's a daily repentance, isn't it? It's a daily trusting, a daily coming, a daily confessing your sinnership. A daily looking up for help. All those cries, Lord help me. Lord be with me. Lord bless me. If they're your cries, and have been cries like this for years really, hasn't he helped you remarkably? We're still found on praying ground. We haven't turned back. Haven't given way to unbelief and nature. Haven't openly rebelled from God. Oh, what a mercy that is. Preserved in Jesus, in unregeneracy, and still preserved, having made profession, and having to walk in a profession in which you've got a sinnership that would destroy you, left to yourself. Because he loves his people, he will not leave them to themselves. Let your conversation without covetousness be said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. My friends, and he has not forsaken one of his humble followers or humble believers as yet, and they will never be forsaken. And thou shalt not be forgotten of me is another promise. God won't forget your need, your life, your dear person, dear in his sight. Oh, believer, God loves you. God loves you. And he'll save you and bring you safely through. Now, none of us know our future, do we? We don't know about our last illness and our dying pillow or dying day. And then one or two godly men have been taken suddenly. Collapsed at work, and one fell among, he was a gardener, dear godly man in Kent he was, and he just fell among the leaves, the autumn leaves. He'd been going to sweep them up, but he just had a heart attack and gone in a moment. Friends, but the vital point is, in that dread moment, O to hide, beneath thy sheltering blood, Troubled Jordans, I see waves divide, and land my soul with God. Now think how good this Lord is. He's with his people. He'll never let them go. Therefore, he's your way. Your way. It's narrow. It's so narrow, only believers walk that way. Grace makes you a believer. There's a unique character in this world. He's got the same nature as the whole of mankind, but he's a unique character. He's different by grace. He becomes a believer in the Lord and trusts in the Lord. That's the narrowness of the way, my friends. Only believers will ever walk in this narrow way. So the narrowness isn't lots of rules and regulations as the natural man would think of. Ah, but David, how I love thy law. So we delight to do God's law, walk in his ways as believers. Now we don't do it perfectly, and we cannot. You've got to die to be perfect and speak of Christ. But we delight in God's law. We want to do all that we can to the glory of Christ, for his honour. Well, you see, the wonderful, isn't it, how he says, because straight is the gate, and there is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it, and it's a favoured few. I believe it's 1,000 times 10,000. We don't know the number of all nations, kindreds, tribes and tongues, isn't it? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he knows you that are his. He knows that you cry to him, trust in him, look to him, and you give him the glory. You say, it was my mercy to me that I believe. It was thy heavenly call that has first touched my heart, for I could touch the hem of thy garment. Yes, those godly men that came to Christ, they saw something in him. And you, believer, you see something in him too, here below. And fly to him. Oh, but what can we plead as we draw near? His meritorious, all-prevailing name. If you feel that you're coming short, tell the Lord. You feel you're coming short and have come short in this, that and something of it. Still come. Still plead. Still knock. Ah, still call upon that precious all-prevailing name in the court of heaven above. Because God has raised him to his right hand to be a prince and a saviour. And to give us repentance and remission of sins. Jesus gives us eternal life. He's your resurrection. And that resurrection was known in your experience as you began to believe and trust. In that lovely hymn, Amazing Grace, I think it's Newton's, isn't it, I believe. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. How wonderful that was, and you're still believing. Oh, but you have trials, sorrows, temptations, worries, fears. Plead Christ. Believe in the merit of Christ. Believe, my dear friends, in the freeness of the promise. God has sworn that his son is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which means he's a priest forever. King Melchizedek was king for his generation. And Christ is of that order. His generation, eternal generation. He's the Son of God. Therefore, while he lives, he's your high priest. Notice under the law, when offerers came with an offering in the ceremonial law to worship, they came as worshippers. You see, if they came in the right season, the right time, there are lots of rules and regulations in the law, they came in the right season, the right time, and brought the right offering, the priest could not refuse. I know there was some ungodly priests they might have done, or wanted to take a bribe or something, but the point is, they could not refuse. Could not refuse. Even according to the ceremonial law, will Jesus refuse you who lives forever, who said, I'll never send anyone away that comes to him? Did I just quote that just now? I think I did. I'll quote it again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him, cometh to me are in no wise cast out, cast back, turn them back. This man receiveth sin and eateth with them. Blessed be his name. So here's your way where you can lean upon him. Think of the bride in the canticles. Who is this that cometh up to the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? The church, the bride, believers. And don't we have to lean sometimes heavily? And sometimes when our life is turned upside down and we're so dismayed, don't know what to do, we have to call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, cry to thee to help me, bless me, forgive me, receive me. Oh, deliver me in this matter, deliver me in that matter. Make a way for me, there seems no way for me, Lord. These trials are organized by God in his eternal thought. And there's a purpose to bring you closer to the Lord, to see his wonderful works. You see, we learn Christ by secret communication, communion at the throne of grace. We don't just learn it like an ABC, do we? Though it's good to learn the ABC of divinity, indeed it is. But nevertheless, we're not saved by that. You need Jesus to bless you and help you and deliver you. And as he does these things for you, so you learn Christ, his goodness, his faithfulness. He can do everything. Poor Job got the end of his tether, didn't he? His friends were cruel. They imagined he had done something very wrong to have all this trouble come upon him. So criticized him, said nasty things to him, implied things about his life, and he'd done these sins and all sorts of things. Well, and the worst thing, God hid his face too. That's a heavy trial, isn't it? But he fought the fight of faith. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though in my skin worm shall destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He did not cast away his hope, did not cast away his salvation in unbelief. He clung to Christ. And often believers, they have to cling to Christ when things are upside down. Ah, he's faithful, my friend, a good God. Well, you see, as we have here, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, few there be that find it. So the believers find it. And may we believe in the whole of the truth of the Son of God. I've mentioned offering for sin. There's such a finality in that offering. And then the shedding of that precious blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you all your transgressions. But in the course, as we remember, I sometimes say these things of the Lord's Supper I might have done here in the past. You see, friends, it was the sins of another year. The Passover and also the great atonement, sins of another year, were pardoned by the blood of beasts and of bulls and of lambs and so on, animals. But friends, the precious blood of Jesus speaks. Yes, the God-man shed his precious sin-atoning blood, and by virtue of his divine nature, that blood is completely meritorious and covers the sins of the whole church. The whole church. Every grace and every favor comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, to the we that find it. In this narrow way, you see, there are a praying people as a believing people. Praying people as well as a believing people. If you believe, you'll pray. My friends, and you pray as a believer. Oh, to believe that our prayers will be heard in his rich grace, according to his good will. And he is of good will that dwells in the bush. He's a faithful God. So plead in submission to Jesus' righteous will, that he may appear and bless and help. And when you come to your dying day, he may support you and bring you through. often exhort the young to lay up prayers against their dying day while they're young. We're older, of course. But my friend, I see a necessity more now than ever before, laying up prayers against that dying day for myself. It's getting closer. I like the prayer of Williams, the Welsh evangelist. Well, he was a pastor as well, a Pentecostalian church at Llandovery. But it's in 462 in Gadsby's, the last verse. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. May death of deaths and hell's destruction and me save on Canaan's side. That's Christ's work, Christ's finished work. Songs of praise I'll ever give to thee. Ah, my friends, yes, you have to pray your way along. And these believers, my friends, they sing the songs of the redeemed. Here below, they begin them. The chorus in heaven must be amazing. All like the noise of many waters. Sweet, sweet songs, sweet sacred rhythm in glory above. But we know something of those. Our heart sometimes wants to sing his praise and give him the glory. So they sing their way along, if I put it that way. And if they sing the Psalms, well, the Psalms make petitions. So we sing petitions. We sing confessions. We sing thanksgivings. And the hymn books, various hymn books there are, of course, some are good and some are not so good. But the good ones have nice hymns in them, you know. There's a great variety. And, friends, it's singing to his praise. As we confess our sins, we are to praise him in the hope, as he has answered our poor prayers, to ever return thanks. 10 lepers were cleansed. Only one returned to give thanks. And he wasn't even a Jew, he was a Samaritan. Oh, my friends, reading at home this morning concerning the hardness of the Jews in our family reading, and how, you know, it seems so had a judicial hardness. They gave Paul leave, the centurion gave Paul leave to speak on the balcony before they led into the castle. But when he spoke of salvation to the Gentiles, they raged at him, away with him. They couldn't bear to think anybody but themselves could be saved. My friends, and they had that promise of God's blessing, and they began to be proud in it, and they lost sight of the promise to the Gentiles through the seed of the woman, through the seed of Christ. And it promised, wasn't it? And his seed, Abraham's seed, Isaac's seed, Jacob's seed, the nation of the earth would be blessed. There's a promise the Gentiles will be blessed. There's also in other parts of the prophet, you see, but they're so taken up with their own pride they couldn't bear it. They hated any thought of other people being saved but themselves. Friends, that's Pharisaism. And you know, sometimes, I'll be careful how I speak this, denominations and little groups can get like that, and nobody quite like us. That's not true. Friends, it's grace to you and grace to me. All people have their flaws. All groups of churches have their flaws too, make their mistakes, have wrong attitudes. But friends, think ye of Christ is the test here. Whose son is he? There's unity there. That's the narrowness of the way to heaven. What think ye of Christ? Ah, my friends, you believe he is the all-in-all, and you want him to be the all-in-all of your own soul, of your loved ones, your families. You long to magnify him, live to his glory. Plus it's getting on, so I think of stopping. Well, entering at the straight gate, remember the other word in Luke? Rendered strive to enter in the straight gate. Fight the good fight of faith to get there. It's a warfare all the journey through. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Well, it's, I said earlier, everybody's opinion. All my friends who aren't not fixed on Christ, that's the broad way. But if you have a heart to Christ, you want to know him. You know, I'm going to bless you. Maybe somebody who's been praying for some sweet confirmation for years and doesn't seem to come. Keep praying. Keep confessing to the Lord. You're not worthy, but he's a sovereign. He can do it. Because as Job said, I know that thou canst do everything. And no thought of thine can be hindered. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it, friend? Well, trust in him. Keep looking. I've got to close on. I mustn't continue. But he's a good God, you know. He's a faithful God. He's faithful that promised. He'll never deny himself. He can't deny himself. If he denied himself, he'd cease to be God. It's what he's promised. It's sure while time remains in this on this planet Earth here and in his creation. Ah, friends, he cannot lie to the coming, confessing, trusting sinner. I know we're full of sin. I know we make so many mistakes in our lives. We confess them. We hate ourselves for what we are. What a mercy. You hate your own life also. That is, not hate your good providence, no. But hate what you are by nature. That's what it means. Well, and some people are so afflicted and so poorly. But Lord bless them. They're not. Nothing's too hard. He can support. He can help. And of course, as I said earlier, and I'm repeating myself here, we don't know what may come upon us in our old age, do we? None of us know that. But let us look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. So the narrowness is Jesus. Jesus only, my friend. It encompasses so many sinners from all the nations and kindreds and tribes of the earth to bring them into the kingdom, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Please forgive all spoken wrongly in the ramblings, Lord. Yet bless the truth of thee. Do take an under the shadow of thy wings and grant us all safe journeys home. And may a few things from the gospel remain with us. Thou art a good God. Plead thy pardoning love and rich grace for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.